And a 1, 2, 3, and. And welcome back, everyone, to another episode of It's Related.
I promise.
Okay, we have to do that again. So when we say It's Related, everyone says,
I promise.
All right, ready? Mm-hmm. Okay, welcome back, everybody, to another episode of It's Related.
I promise.
Yes, it is. So guys, we are full house today and we love, love, love being full house. Unfortunately, Jules is not here today, but, you know, sending all the love, she couldn't make it. But don't worry, Charles is here to hold it down.
Thank you, thank you.
And we have amazing guests with us today. And actually, before we get into the episode, I just want to shout out everyone for sharing all the amazing Spotify Wrapped.
Yes, that was amazing.
Yeah, there's been so many like people sharing that we're like their top podcast and all of that. And actually, even Julia has been the top podcast with So This Is Love. So yes, like she's on two top podcasts, you know, shout outs to her. But yeah, everyone, thank you for listening. So we have a very interesting conversation lined up today. We typically try to not talk about, you know, politics, right? Like the big P. But at the end of the day, you can't run away from it. It's a big pillar of society and culture. This is technically a society and culture podcast. So we thought, you know, why not get into it? So I have a very, very esteemed panel today. Like, I'm so excited. But before, I'd love you guys to introduce yourselves. I mean, Charles, you're like a regular here, but, you know, just introduce yourself for those who might be new here.
Hey, everyone. Mm-hmm. So fantastic to have you all listening to us. Keep listening. Keep sharing. And I'm glad to be here.
And you are?
Thank you. I'm Charles.
You're Charles. King Charles.
Yes, that one.
We call him King Charles in this end.
Yes.
All right. And over to his right.
Hi, everyone. My name is Nirima Wako. And I am the director of Siasa Place.
Ooh.
Siasa means politics.
Siasa means politics. Mm-hmm. I love it. And to my left.
Hi, everyone. My name is Esther Kazungu, and I am a content creator, digital activist, artivist, and actor.
Hey, artivist. Artivist. I love it. And actually, you know what? I wrote some introductions for you guys because knowing how modest a lot of people with your accolades are, I wanted to give our listeners the real of who you guys are. Okay. So, Nirima Wako is a Kenyan political analyst who serves as the executive director of Siasa Place. Mm-hmm. Siasa Place is an organization led by young people that engages Kenyans, educating them about the constitution, about governance, and the electoral process through community engagements and social media. She is also a 2018 Barack Obama Fellow.
Yeah. Hey.
Welcome. Welcome, Nirima. Okay, Esther Kazungu. Esther Kazungu is a multi-hyphenated creative. She's an actress, a content creator, and a comedian that shot to fame because of her unique style of political satire. Boasting a social media real estate of over 300,000 followers, Esther uses her platform and her witty sense of humor to hold power to account. Taking on political institutions like the NHIF, KPLC, and most famously, the Directorate of Immigration in Kenya. Welcome to IRIP, Esther.
Thank you.
So yes, with a panel like this, I think, guys, we are ready to talk about, you know, something that's been very close to our hearts here at IRIP. Mm-hmm. We basically want to like chit chat about the role of influencers in politics. Can those two things coexist, right? But before we get into that conversation, as we always do on IRIP, we like knowing where guys are at, what's caught your attention lately. So we can start with King Charles. What's been top of mind for you?
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
For me this week, what's been top of mind is the NBA
yes.
office
oh
launch.
My gosh.
And big shout out to Mike Finley, who's going to be leading it in Kenya and leading the Kenya office. And for me, I think the reason it's so top of mind and something that excites me is what sport can do for society.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
When you think about it, and we'll be talking about politics and the intersection of life and politics, the ability to leverage and create opportunities for young people mm-hmm. is so critical.
Yeah.
And that is what the NBA can do.
Yeah.
And I was reflecting on it last night mm-hmm. and I was thinking, it reminds me of MTV Base mm-hmm. in 2006, mm-hmm. right?
Ooh.
When we were starting off and thinking, okay, what can African music be?
Yeah.
And I just had this really amazing feeling of saying, actually, in 10 years, we could sit back and reflect and say on the 29th of December, no, November, mm-hmm. 2023.
Yeah, we were there to witness
at the
that.
Heart and the mm-hmm. launch of NBA, really making a mark
yeah.
in Kenya, in East Africa, and really seeing how many Kenyans are yeah. playing in the NBA in 10 years from now, in 15 years from mm-hmm. now, right? The same way you can say Burna Boy is selling out Madison Square Garden,
yeah.
right? Same, mm. right? So that really excites me, and that's been top of mind for me this week.
I love that you said that, because that was also my top of mind.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah,
no, we can share.
We actually went for the events
yeah.
together.
Yeah. So maybe give more
So let me
juice.
Give more juice.
Give more juice.
How was Charles the best dressed at this event?
You guys,
let me tell you. I mean, I've seen Charles dress well, you know, because we've been to some nice events together. But the dress code at the event was... What is it? Official with a touch of basketball swagger.
Oh, yes,
nice.
Yes.
And his interpretation of that, I was just like, Charles, you're a fashion influencer. You've been hiding. So he had one of these, like, I don't know what they're called, but it's what like a typical
African
like,
outfit.
African, but like mm. like a rich Nigerian would wear.
Mm-hmm.
You know those nice, freshly cut, it looks like fresh out of Kinta Kunte or somewhere like that. And then these like beautiful Converse shoes, like the platform ones. I was just like, what? No, you looked so good, Charles.
Let
shout
me
out
tell
to you. Honestly, I know you'll say I'm good for your ego,
to
blah, blah, blah.
To all the listeners,
but
never, ever, ever in life do you need anyone else when you have such an amazing cheerleader like Sharon.
No, for real.
Like, the best person for your ego.
So we went for the event. It was so dope. For me, why it really resonated is, and I think we shared this in one of our previous episodes. So I wanted to be a basketball player growing up.
Yeah.
Mm. And like, I knew I'm going to grow up to be like the best female basketball player like the world has ever seen. Like, it was just in my heart. Obviously that didn't end up happening for many reasons, but one of the like, what would you call, guest of honor that yeah. was there is this legendary player called
Ron Harper, five-time
NBA
world
champion.
Mm. Champion.
There we go. So
played for the Lakers.
He played
yeah.
for the Bulls as well? Did he play
yeah,
for the Bulls?
Yeah, for the Bulls too.
Legend. So he like called up to the stage this kid who's, I think he's 18, and apparently he's like poised to be one of the best like Kenyan young basketball players.
Yeah.
And he has hopes to like get into the NBA.
Oh, wow.
And I remember him getting on stage and... I don't know, in my heart I was like, oh my God, that like, there was something in my childhood that felt so drawn to that moment. And yeah, like there was so many emotions going through me that night and meeting all these like the girl who was MCing.
Yes.
Silale. She
was amazing.
She used to play for the WNBA.
No, not WNBA. She was a Kenyan basketball captain.
Oh, for the Kenya team.
Yeah, yeah, for the Kenya team.
Like,
amazing person, yeah.
We should bring on the podcast.
I think we should.
She's so dope. But yeah, so that was us, guys.
But wait. But the other thing I just want to touch on is about humility,
mm-hmm.
right? How humble.
Yeah.
Meeting Ron Harper, for me,
I watched
this guy as a young person playing for the Lakers, playing for the Bulls.
Mm.
When he was at the Bulls, I didn't like him. When he came to the Lakers, I loved him. But the humility
He's so
of
humble.
This human who's so great at the sport that he does was amazing. And I just hope more of our leaders and, you know, people who influence can have that level of humility.
Agreed. So yeah, that was a dope event. Thank you for coming. And I kept you out more than 10 minutes. Guys, Charles never stayed anywhere more than 10 minutes. He's just like, I may have gone my social battery, but she did 2 hours.
Longer.
I feel
Three?
You.
My God. Oh yeah, but yeah.
You told me like at 10.
You remember going viral. Let me tell you. But yes, what's been top of mind? We can start with Esther.
First of all, I think Charles is lying. I think that quotes his attention this week is my nails.
Not this week. That was just
We are still this week. It was under this week. Okay. Anyway, I'm kidding.
So, by the way, Esther is wearing this Frank Lloyd Wright design on her nails. It's quite epic.
People should tell us before they Google if they know what that is. Because now Charles was making us feel guilty. And no one here knew what that was. Mm-hmm. So, yes. But what caught my attention this week was... Christina Shusho's tweet. Christina Shusho. So Christina Shusho is a gospel musician.
Mm-hmm. And oh, yes. Give context for our international listeners. Yes. She's from TZ.
Uh-huh. And so she tweeted, inviting our first lady to the concert she's going to be performing at. And when she got the feedback, she deleted the tweets. So we, okay, the interesting thing to me is I always... try to figure out, so what was the thought process? Did she feel like, okay, are people not really going to come to my concert?
she tagged the first lady and was like,
oh, wakaribishwa, oh, you're welcome to the concert. And people started saying, Basi, you can just, that concert, I'm not coming.
Wow.
Yeah, so I just, for me, I'm an overthinker, so I'm always thinking, like, what was the process? Before she deleted that tweet, what was the process?
Yeah, what was going to her mind?
Guy, are they serious? So, let me just delete.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then also the lineup, I'm not sure what type of concert that's going to be because it has like comedians, but Kenyans just want to go and cry because of like the how life is of late. So we just want to go and cry. I don't know how Churchill has lined up that show, but yeah, we'll wait and see.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Alrighty. What about you, Nerima? What's been top of mind for you?
It's something that happened today, actually.
Yeah.
I get to the office pretty early, mm-hmm. and so I wanted to get some coffee, and I used Boda Boda motorbike.
Uh-oh.
And I didn't hear the guy coming. So I was like, whoa, what is this? And he had an electric bike.
Right? Yeah.
So I was like, whoa, this is not my first time seeing them. Mm. I mean, they've been advertised a lot. And I know, like, this government has really been pushing guys to use electric bikes. Mm-hmm. So that was, like, the first time me getting on one and just him describing how he charges it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is it like? Like, it's very quiet.
It's so quiet.
Okay.
Yeah. I've experienced
it. Unbelievably quiet.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is it more expensive? Is it cheaper?
It's more expensive to buy.
Okay. For you as a passenger. Buy. Okay.
Yeah. I was like, bro, no.
Cheaper in the long run.
Yeah.
I've never been on one of those. Yeah. But I've been in an electric... I've been in an electric car, but never an electric Boda.
Wow. There are more of them now, so you'll definitely be seeing them more. Yeah.
I love that.
They're so silent, by the way.
Yeah.
So silent.
Any other thing about it that's, like, interesting? Like, is it a smoother ride or it's just the same but quiet?
You know, it's a weird thing because, you know, when you're always so used to things that have fuel, even when you accelerate, you know, you hear it. You'll hear. So it's such a mind... I was almost thinking F word. So, you know, you're going faster, but you're not hearing it. So it's also screwing up with things you're so used to.
Mm.
So it's faster, but you don't even feel the acceleration. You don't hear it. So it's a whole other sensory level that we are not
used to.
Yeah. So it's weird.
I love it. I definitely am keen to try that. Okay.
Yeah.
Electric so is
who's this guy? Is this your regular Boda?
Yeah, he's.
I want his number.
His name is Martin, but he's my guy. Like, if I need to go somewhere fast and I'm late, I will call him.
Yeah.
He will go and take a highway. I feel so safe.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we have avoided a few accidents.
Oh,
and
wow.
He's normally very alert. Even sometimes when we've almost had an accident, he'll stop. He's like, you okay? Are you okay?
I'm like, oh, that's nice. They usually don't care.
I know.
Like, no. You're literally like in between cars and they're just going and you're like catching your breath, right?
Yeah.
He's like, I don't die.
Martin. Shout out to you, Martin. Shout out to you. So I guess, I haven't shared mine. I shared NBA.
We shared.
It counts. I can't think of anything. Because he stole my concept. I was going to say it. Even last week, you stole mine. You've just been stealing my, what caught your attention. You need to stop.
Okay, can I add one then?
Yeah, please add.
So our president said, like, the economy has gotten better. And I'm just like, where are we living? Yeah. Where are we at? Like, are we in the same Kenya? Because I'm struggling. Like, what do you mean? Yeah. What do you mean, child? And even, like, when the deputy president said the people who are affected by floods went to the flood. I don't know what we're doing. Mm. It's like we're on free fall in Kenya, and like, it's crazy.
Like, yeah, things are, to the pound. It's been... A lot. It's been a lot. Mm-hmm. Which actually kind of tinkers on what I wanted us to talk about today. Mm-hmm. So a few weeks ago, there was an influencer, Mama Olive, who we all know and love. And she posted something on her Instagram that got everyone talking, right? And I'm just going to read it out loud and get you guys' reactions to it. And I'm so curious what you think of that subject matter, okay? Mm-hmm. So... I think she was writing this in reference to what's going on in Gaza. But basically she was saying, and remember this was a few weeks ago, so the context of maybe like a month ago. It's a bit long, so bear with me. So she says that there's so much hate out there for influencers, with many people making fun of the fact that even during hard times, we're endorsing and promoting brands. It's as if they don't recognize that our real job, our 9-to-5, and the means by which we take care of our families, As a single mother of three, this is my main source of income. Sometimes it's my only source of income depending on my photography work. This is my full-time job, and it's disheartening when people constantly attack and belittle what influencers do. I get it. It's unconventional, but it's the reality. I want to ask those who criticize us, are you personally putting your job on hold to become an advocate for world issues? Have you stopped going to work or doing what earns you money? Just because my job is in the public eye and I share it on my stories doesn't make it any less of a job. I have three kids to support, provide for their basic needs, and ensure their education. I also have two staff members who rely on me to support their own families. People need to stop hating on influencers for simply doing their actual job. I'll be the first to admit that it's a challenging space to navigate the world's issues while being so publicly present on social media. It can feel like our efforts are falling on deaf ears, or even we seem tone deaf. But at the end of the day, this is how I make a living and support my family. It's not something to be ridiculed or dismissed. Additionally, every single person who has a social media account has influence, regardless of the number of followers that they have. It's important to recognize that influence extends beyond just those with large followings. Each individual has the power to make a difference, whether they have one follower or five. Let's shift the narrative from criticizing influencers to encouraging everyone to use their influence, no matter how big or small. And she finishes by saying, I invite you all to engage in the comments, but let's keep the conversation peaceful, respectful, and considerate. So this was happening when the sort of crisis happening now in Gaza had just kind of begun, and everyone was like, influencers shouldn't be posting anything except, you know, what their stand is on the matter. And without even going into that situation, because it's quite complex and this is not what this episode was about, I was just curious from you guys, when as people who are, you know, some of you around the table are influencers, some of you are not. Did you have an expectation for influencers to be posting their stand on these issues? Or were you like, I literally don't care? Like me, you keep doing your skincare routine, whatever. I don't want to see you talking about politics. Nerima, like what comes to your mind when you see what Mama Oliver is talking about?
No, I totally get what she's saying, and I relate with 101%. Mm. I have been surprised to see some people speak on the issue that I would normally not think that they would.
Yeah, yeah.
But I feel that it should be up to you if you would like to.
Yeah,
I don't think you need to be forced to or felt the need to do it.
Yeah.
So for me, I chose to be silent on the issue, and it's brought some issues.
For real?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Yes, yes,
like
yes.
People like publicly ask you why you haven't said anything.
Yeah.
I mean, wow. I'm curious though, because you are in politics. Like I would assume you would say something, but
exactly. That is it.
Okay, so I'm part of the problem.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the assumption. Uh-huh. And so I'm just like, no, I've been silent about it, and some of my friends who are diehard activists have been really posting it and wondering why I'm not sharing, why I'm not retweeting, why am I not saying something.
Yeah.
So I have chosen to be silent, and some people have been upset with me.
Oh, yeah? Wow. Can I ask why, or do you not prefer not to share?
Mm, Even getting me to think. So I find a lot of the statements, you might as well shut up.
Ooh, okay. Yeah.
Because even if you say you're on this side or whatever.
Yeah.
How are you impacting? Like, I feel like I'm doing a lot of impacting behind the scenes and I don't need to shout about it.
Right.
Yeah. So if I have a problem with it, I will maybe write a letter to the embassies or write a petition. I will do it. So I don't think me posting up a flag and saying, stop this right now. Like, I don't. I feel if there was maybe something to be organized to walk to the embassy and do a protest.
Yeah, I would that's what you'd be doing.
Yeah, but I don't need to post that I'm doing that. It's like, you know, the way if you have some money and you want to help the poor, do you give pictures of yourself to a street kid? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what it feels like to me. Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah, but I get what you're saying. And Esther, did you feel like... Because I feel like she's literally talking about now people like, you know, yourself and even myself. Like, because our work is literally influencing 9 to 5.
Yeah.
Did you feel pressure to post?
Nope. Honestly. And I haven't, and I don't feel pressure because...
Yeah.
So am I posting because I genuinely want to help, or am I posting because you guys have said, oh, you need to post?
I know exactly.
Because for me, the activism that has been very impactful throughout was something that came from my heart. Mm. I was ranting from a place of, man, I've seen how this system works and it is not working. Mm. So when I talk about it, people relate because I know everything I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, I know everything I am saying. Mm-hmm. I know about Yeni. I've done enough research and everything. So you want me to just speak because I have a platform that does not make sense.
Mm.
So I didn't feel pressure. Even when I saw the post.
Yeah, oh, you saw Mama Olive's post at the time. Mama,
I saw her post and I saw the comments that were under it. And especially because I am an activist. I don't also expect other people to do it because I have been an activist for the longest time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. To me, it's been long.
Oh, yeah. What do you mean? Like, how long is it?
I was like, wait. Bruh.
So, for decades.
Yeah, I've been an activist for quite a long time. To me, again, it's been long. So, and all this time, I didn't expect my fellow influencers to talk about the things I'm talking about.
Mm.
So, why now will they expect me to talk about something that's not even, you know, Kenyan? Because me, I am pro. Yeni, I just want our systems to work.
Yeah. And you know, that's what I'm for at home, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So,
do you get nervous when you talk about politics and stuff like that on your platform?
Sometimes.
Because, I feel that like jitter. Like, trust me, even right now, I'm like, oh man, this is. Because it's so polarizing.
Yeah.
It's so polarizing. And especially me, who I'm very sensitive to confrontation. And like, I did a documentary once when I was still a journalist at the BBC. And it was trending on Twitter. And it was my first dose of like public ridicule.
Yeah.
And that shit broke me so into tiny little pieces.
Yeah.
And so every time I'm getting into a zone of like speaking about something that's so polarizing, I remember how broken I felt trending on Twitter for like 2 days, And you know, guys know how Kenyans on Twitter or /X are so unforgiving. So like, I get very nervous talking about anything in the political realm, but I can appreciate that again, it's such a key pillar of society and culture. I feel like you can't be in the public eye and not even have something, you know, to say. It doesn't have to be a full-on, you know, I've seen people issue press releases, and I'm like, girl, no. You know, I mean, I don't know. You don't need to address, like, the, you know, like, chill a bit. This was more so at the beginning. Like, at the beginning, I felt some people were using it to cloud chase, which I find that horrifying.
Yeah.
Because how could that be top of mind for you in a situation like that? But I felt like everyone was trying to show, like, I'm not just a shallow influencer. You know, they probably called some of their friends who are very clued into like current affairs and asked them, what should I be saying?
Mm.
But I think back to Mama Olive's point, I do agree that it's unfair for people to have expected influencers to not post anything else. And even for me, who had recently lost my job and now I'm doing content creation full time, like, she's right. This is how we're making money. Mm. Like, you can't, unless everybody stopped going to work,
yeah,
then fine. Mm. You know, but you can't expect content creators to stop posting. Because me, I remember I was posting. In fact, at that time, I think I had a campaign that I was doing. And I remember a lot of people were posting, and people that are like my friends, posting how influencers shouldn't be, like, they're being very tone deaf by not posting, you know, whichever side of the divide you stand. And I remember feeling very hurt by it because I was like, do you not understand that this is what puts food on the table? So, yeah, it's very conflicting. But, Charles, you've been quiet. I know you're not an influencer, but just like, what do you think about
so nice
what Mama
not to
Oli
be an
said?
Influencer.
Yeah, must be nice.
So nice. So, here are my thoughts. I think for starters, I think it's such a tough thing. Mm. To project your feelings and expectations onto other people.
Mm, yeah.
And first of all, I don't know Mama Olive, but just shout out to her.
Yeah.
Right? Because I think that what she's doing and saying is absolutely on point. I think people should do what comes from the heart.
Exactly.
People need to be authentic.
Yeah.
Right? And nobody should be expected to do something because that's just what's trending.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that in itself is problematic if that's how people think about it. Mm. And then in terms of the piece of you're an influencer, should you stop posting things which, whether you're, you know, promoting Johnny Walker or, you know, Nivea or whatever, right?
Mm.
I think we need to think about how do people deal with trauma?
Ooh, yeah.
And people deal with trauma in different ways. Mm-hmm. Some people confront it.
Yeah.
Some people seek out an escapist view
to
deal with it. Because, and unpacking this particular issue and talking about it more broadly, there's so much suffering going on in the world.
Yeah.
Every single day, every single moment, that it's really difficult to isolate one tragedy over another.
Yeah. Mm.
And I think that one of the key things that we should be thinking about is how do we as humanity show up for each other?
Mm-hmm.
And how are we fair to each other? And how do we care for each other? Right? So when Mama Olive posts things that are her day-to-day work to put food on the table, etc., she's being vulnerable to even post what she posted.
Yeah, I would never have posted that. Like, I'd have been scared out of my mind.
Absolutely. I think she's putting herself out there, and I give her, like, mad props for doing that. And I think that we need to give each other grace.
For
because
sure.
I think we're so quick to react.
Mm-hmm.
And then lastly, and maybe this is why it's nice, I'm not an influencer.
You'd make a great influencer, Charles. On a potential.
I don't want. It's just let things like flow off your back like a duck.
Uh-huh.
Like, Mama Olive, wherever you are, okay, skiliza hii podcast yetu. If you hear our podcast, by the way, it should be part of your Spotify, what do you call it?
Wrapped. Yeah, Spotify Wrapped.
I hope this IRIP, because, you know, we're giving you mad love. But just forget it. Like, don't let other people's concern about you really worry you. And, I mean, like, KOT is rough, right?
Oh, my God.
You had UK drop off KOT.
Yeah, I get it. Oof.
But here's the thing.
Yeah.
Nothing, and you said it. Nothing lasts more than 2 days.
Actually, yeah.
Literally,
two days onto the
Nobody
next
cares.
Person. Yeah.
Right? So just let it go. Mm. Don't even engage with it. Don't respond.
Yeah.
In fact, Sharon, you should be teaching this.
What?
PR 101. Comms 101.
It really is. Yeah, I guess it is.
Do not even respond. Let it go.
Let it be.
Right? Just let it be. Because guys will, you know, call you out for that.
Yeah.
And then the next moment, they'll call you out for something else, et cetera, et cetera. So if you live your life thinking so much about other people's opinion about what you do, it will break you.
You must,
in my view, the way I live my life is that I ask myself, is this going to change my day-to-day routine.
Yeah.
Is it going to stop me affording school fees for my son, rent for my house, etc.? And if it doesn't?
Too bad. Yeah.
Actually, I don't
care. Be gone with it, yeah.
Because everyone, you know, what's that phrase, right? You're always a villain in someone else's story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? So there'll always be someone, no matter how much you help them, that will chastise and vilify you.
Yeah.
And then I always go with one last sort of view. If they killed and crucified Jesus, who am I? Mm-hmm. People will hate me. This is a man who created fun times, eh? Wine from water, raising people from the dead. And people still like chastised him. Not the one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Chastised him. So like people will hate you for everything. So don't feel it. Let it go.
That's so true. Have you, Esther, felt that pressure for like your audience was trying to get you to either say something, speak up on something, you know, just, but it's coming more from them versus from you.
Maybe I missed it.
You're like,
No, I've never, I don't think I have ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. It's just.
What kind of pressure do you normally feel?
Right now?
Mm-hmm.
The pressure of having to log everyone's complaint because everyone's just coming through me like, wait, keep healthy, I've not done this, should I tag Esther? I don't have my password, should I tag Esther? So I'm just like,
Customer care.
Wish I could log all these complaints.
Yeah.
And people get angry the same way they got angry when I was ranting about myself because I feel like when I rant about something I'm going through, the feedback and the engagement is different from when I'm ranting for other people. I wish we could just all make all, like we could make all these tweets go viral. Like I wish we could make all the tweets go viral. All the, anything I say, if I'm complaining about someone else, I wish all of it will go viral so that everyone can get the help. Because I see the mentions, I keep seeing the mentions every day. I don't think a day passes without me getting somebody who's trying to get electricity in their hood or they haven't had electricity for 3 days.
Yeah.
And I'm just, I feel helpless and I wish there was a way around it. That's the only pressure I have. But otherwise, people forcing me to talk about something that I have not talked about.
It doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen.
Yeah.
I guess because I usually talk about things most of the time. Maybe.
Yeah, pretty vocal. Have you felt that, Narima? Like just felt, you know, compelled or, you know, someone's, not someone, but like, people are looking to you like, okay, so
yeah. And I've openly said it because a lot of times, especially when I started doing political analysis, I would get coined as the voice of the young people.
That's so true. And even in our newsroom, that was like your, it's like, yes, Narima, the girl for the youth.
Yeah. So you're like this one person.
Yeah, representing.
Representing millions, right?
Wow, yeah.
And it's not, there's no election. You know, I didn't sign up for it, okay? So what ends up happening is I get a lot of walk-ins in my office.
Oh, wow.
The youth are really struggling. I think yesterday I had 4 suicides.
Oh, wow.
This morning I've had of 1.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday I had a young lady called Jacinta walk into my office and, you know, she was just asking me questions about career. She's about to graduate.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I looked at her and I asked her, what are you afraid of? And she said, I'm afraid of graduating.
Wow.
Because I don't know where I'm going to go. I don't know what I'm going to do. I've seen so many of my friends tarmac. So for me, that's the pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not to say. It's to do something.
Exactly.
Because people come to you with this expectation of, you can help me.
Yeah.
So
help me.
I get so many CVs, you know. Sometimes even in my office, our WhatsApp number, we'll just get CVs received every day.
Wow.
Calls. I have text messages. People are like, please look at my CV. Please look at my CV, my Instagram. So it's, I'm not a very, I'm not very active on social media. Like on X, I have a large following, right?
Yeah.
I have like
a lot.
Yeah. But I don't even engage that much.
Okay.
Like, you'll see me tweet once in a while, put up posts once. Because sometimes I feel so overwhelmed.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. So that, I hope, doesn't lead to burnout. Because I know, like, burnout is on the periphery.
100%.
Yeah.
It makes me wonder, Nerima, because you do a lot of analysis around politics, young people. Is there a place for influencers?
Yes.
And speaking up on these issues, do you think as Kenyan influencers, do we do it well? Can we do it better? Like, how are we faring? How are we doing on that front?
I think there's a lot of space for influencers because where we seem to have a gap is information, like factual information.
Kabisa.
So you find the worst talking heads on media.
Oh gosh, yeah.
And, you know, spewing stuff.
That's mainly, why I just say silent, honestly.
Exactly, mainly politically aligned to a party or a person. So they're just like, this is the best thing for Kenya, this is the best. Influencers can bring that neutrality into it, where I don't belong to a political party or I have a business. And running my business, I've seen the impact that this increased taxes has had.
Right. On like my a business. Real life, like testimonial.
Yes. There's a lot of room for real life. And influencers can actually share their own experience. And it is relatable to what's happening in the country. Because even as recently as I think Monday, I was on a late night show. And mainly, it's always men, actually. I'm normally the only woman. I'm normally Charles.
Let me tell you, today, it's so nice to be Charles. Yeah. Right about now, in the presence of all these great women.
Actually, you're right. Yeah, it's always Manels.
It's Manels.
Panel of
but
men.
But you see, Charles, they're not nice men. Like,
met me?
No, you're nice. You're nice. But those Manels, they're some... Yeah. You know, like, you know what the guy said to me, and this was this week.
What?
He said, you know, we can't have an analysis from someone where their biggest complaint is when they ask for wine, the waiter brings red wine instead of white wine.
Oh! What? No. Wow. Oh, my God.
I flipped.
I hope you called him out on it.
I called him out on it.
What?
But anyway, I've been missing the point. So what does Charles say? Is he was trying to say some stupid point about how this has been the best year. A lot of kids have gone back to school.
Yeah.
And I had to share a fact. Like, almost 1 million kids have actually dropped out from school this year alone. And if you don't know that fact, just look around you.
Yeah.
How many people are asking you for help for school fees? How many people are struggling? How many people have moved?
Yeah.
And so even our own lives, we can be able to share. As influencers, which is what I'm so used to calling Kazungu.
Kazungu.
Who is that?
Exactly.
Which is what Kazungu did.
Yeah.
With her experience with the passport. So it was an issue. And she shared the issue, but there were so many Kenyans going through it.
Yeah.
And so highlighting that issue. So just sharing what you are going through is what influencers can do.
Yeah.
Because it's already coming from a place where you're walking. So you're not forced to enter a topic that you...
You're not too familiar with.
Yeah.
Do you get any political updates, Charles, from your fave influences?
No.
Have you said it like that?
No. So here's the thing. I actually hold a slightly different perspective on it. And my perspective is that everyone needs to be true to their brand.
Okay.
Right? And it's one thing to speak about it from a personal experience, which I completely agree with. But I think that if Mama Olive or you or someone else is talking about, you know, a particular issue with such perspective that is not core to their brand, then it throws people off.
Fair enough.
Right? And it's one thing if you're talking about, you know what, life update. Here's something that I'm going through.
Yeah.
Immigration. Try to get my passport. It's been 6 years or whatever.
On a good year.
Yeah. Stop it. Right?
People are 6 years for you.
You know, that's different, right? Because you're actually almost venting.
Yeah.
Right? And when people see that, they see the pain and frustration of a personal experience. But at the same time, you probably don't want to talk about all your personal experiences, because then that veers into something else that's completely different from what your brand is.
Yeah.
And as an influencer, I think, and again, I'm not an expert on this, but I think that what's critical is to understand who's your audience, because you are delivering a particular type of content.
Yeah.
And what does that audience appreciate? And what are they coming to you for? And so if you're veering off what is expected of you on a regular basis, your audience changes. And what the brands that advertise with you expect of you, you're shifting audiences.
Okay.
Right? So then you as an influencer now actually start standing for something else.
But what if the thing like is so near and dear to everyone, like you can't ignore it, right? Like the current crisis. Because I feel like that's why there was so much, even in the comments on her post, people were so divided. Because guys were like, this is not your regular politics. Like this is a global crisis. Something should be said by everyone. But so do you feel like that still applies? Does your point of view still apply in those moments?
But what you experience and go through doesn't have to be shared publicly. And perhaps most of us, as individuals, as myself, right, I have very strong views about certain things which are going on publicly and politically and in the political sphere. But I'm not tweeting about them.
But yeah, you know, but hasn't.
I'm not putting out Instagram. And it is, as you said, I have my own little microcosm of influence.
Okay. So I was about to ask you, are you influential?
Just 30 people. I know Nerima and Kazungu, them, they don't follow me. But you see, I don't influence them. But you see, I'm not posting about different political issues. But trust me, I am feeling those on a day-to-day basis. Right? When I go home and I'm having conversations with different people who are struggling, who cannot pay school fees, Nerima, as you said, who go to Kenyatta National Hospital and it's a mess and they're struggling with that. I deal with this on a day-to-day basis because guess what? That's what life is.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that we need to separate, you know, the life of an influencer with a channel that they have. Right? Because the channel that they have is, and I know it's a fine line and people will be like, no, I'm not an actor, but a lot of influencers very carefully curate the content that they put on their channel.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's the job.
Right?
I feel like that's the job.
Absolutely. And they're authentic about it, but what they're showing you is one facet of the whole being that they are. And I think that that channel that they have is for that one facet that they have chosen to show.
It's everything.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean that they're a shallow person and that's the only facet that they contain.
True. That is actually the misconception. That if you're, and to be fair, I've been caught in that where you just think because someone is doing skincare,
that's
the full amount of this person. A skincare routine type of girl,
no,
you know, or
they,
type of guy.
They could be a philosopher.
Right. But they've
they
chosen
could be
to
an
communicate.
Architect.
Yeah.
And they could be, you know, like one that's of my favorite people, right, is nameless. You are definitely my favorite person.
I'm switching off your mic.
Yeah. Okay, nameless? My favorite people on social media.
Am I not on social media?
You're not in my social media. You are just in my life. Day in, day out.
Good save, good save.
Day in, day out. My human. But nameless. God, I hope he doesn't mind me saying this. Nameless is an architect.
He is. Yeah, it's public. Right? It's out there.
We know.
One of the best, right? Nameless is an incredible copywriter. Right? Incredible. Mm. Used to work at WPP.
Oh, I didn't know.
Doing a whole bunch of stuff, a lot of commercials that...
For our international listeners, tell them who Nameless is.
Oh, Nameless is one of Kenya's OG musicians.
Yes.
Yeah. What is it called? Some information. I don't know what.
Some information.
Like fun fact.
Yeah. Some information.
So I've known Nameless since we were in primary school.
Oh,
together.
Really? You got that big bag?
Yeah.
Wow.
So
you invite him, he comes.
I know the name.
Oh, you know the name? He's Nameless. Yeah. Okay.
I know the name behind Nameless, but I will not shout it here.
Okay, so you'll tell us.
Charles. No. Anyway, you wanted me to compliment your nails.
Okay, Isha Peter.
But you see, so you can meet Nameless, the musician, Nameless, the father, Nameless, the husband, Nameless, the copywriter, the architect.
I see.
All full facets, right? So, and we can't judge him for just one piece of his life.
Right.
And I think that we need to let different influences, you know, show us and come or show the side that they want to show and accept that that's not their whole being.
Yeah. I agree. I would put a bit of a caveat and say, I feel like it is also important for influencers to be, I mean, not everyone, but like, I think everyone has a bit of a responsibility.
Absolutely.
To know what's going on.
And that's why and like, I disagree.
Yeah, and understand the nuances a little bit. Like, yeah. You know, it's, and I get it because I've been guilty of sometimes just, when I was a journalist more so, I was very clued into stuff, the nuances, the context, the all those things because that was the job. Then shifted gears and I was, you know, slacking a little bit. But I think we don't take that seriously enough, that responsibility to educate ourselves, that responsibility that we have to our audiences. I really don't think we do. And I would even say, is there Nerima somewhere, you know, people can get, influencers can get that sort of civic education that allows them to speak on things with a little bit more, with better information. And with, I think also with just a little bit more confidence, because me, it's definitely a confidence issue. Like, who am I to start talking about the current state of affairs? Like, I don't have that language. I don't have the context. I have my own personal context.
But you see, Sharon,
is that what matters?
Yeah.
Okay. Like but Kenyans, me, I've been roasted
name
before.
Name something you're interested in.
I'm interested in content creation,
okay,
podcasting.
So let's go there. Content creation.
Yeah.
There's a meeting next week. Government is supposed to create a framework.
Okay. Is this a for real meeting?
It's a for real meeting.
Oh, damn. Okay.
For business processing in terms of people who work with content creators.
Yeah.
Because they feel a lot of big companies are taking advantage of young people.
Oh, wow.
And not paying them right. Or suddenly revoking their consultancy contracts because they went against the brand.
Oh, this is so true, actually.
Okay. Political. Government. Okay, so, so the reason why I guess I'm so passionate about this is we try and teach, especially young people, every single thing is political, whether you like it or not. From where you live, to how you eat, to where you go to school. And you don't have to be the one that's out there, you know, preaching politics and all that. But you just need to know how things work. And, and be involved in your own way. But you don't have to share it. But just be involved. Talk about it even when you're eating with your friends.
Yeah.
You know, because I feel a lot of young people do talk a lot about celebrities, entertainment.
Actually, yeah, we follow pop culture
sports,
to the T. I know the day Teyana Taylor and Anish broke up.
Correct.
But can I name the cabinet secretary of... No. That's the problem. That's the problem, you know. Like.
But is it though?
I think
it's two things, right? One.
Yeah.
I don't think you need to know that every single cabinet secretary.
No, you don't.
I think what you need to know is what's happening, how it affects your life and how it affects society.
Yes.
But secondly, knowing and being conversant about it doesn't mean you should post it on your social media handle.
I see.
And that's why I was saying that channel is specific and curated a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
So we shouldn't think that because, you know, Sharon is not posting about a particular topic, she's not conversant about it.
Yes, true.
Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Just the same way that the things that I talk about in the office are very different from the things I talk about with different people in my life, right?
Mm.
And so we just need to sort of understand people are multifaceted and that they're going to say different things at different places.
Yeah.
Because going back to the whole different versions of everyone.
True. I wonder, maybe Esther, you can tell what you think about it. Like, where do you think that pressure comes from? People thinking you should speak on XYZ, especially if you're a political, like yourself, like satirist or activist. Mm-hmm. Are they entitled?
No, to me, I think it's misdirected anger.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, that's it.
Yes, we're angry about it, but now we're also in it. So. Why are you mad and you want me to speak? Have you spoken? Are you pressuring your parents? Share on WhatsApp the way you said forward, you know? Like, I feel like it's misdirected anger that should go to the specific people who are causing the problems.
Yeah, instead that
can actually effect change instead of directing it to content creators and influencers.
Yeah. Mm. So you didn't have that expectation of your fellow content creators to share or post?
So let me tell you... In the past, I did, especially when there was police brutality during COVID.
Yeah, COVID, I remember.
In the past, I was like, why are you not speaking about this? But then the more I spoke about these things, I came to see why. These things can be so draining. Mm. And for some people, the best way for them to cope with these things is just staying away from them.
And do you think it affects someone's bag? Like, do you think brands are less likely to... work with you if you're those guys who poke buttons at the powers that be, you know, or because I've seen that in America, in whatever, in Europe, like if you're those guys who are considered a bit of a, you know, you hold power to account in that way, people tend to shy away from you because you seem like a flight risk.
I think yes and no.
Mm.
Because for example, Jugush, myself, we do it in a funny way. So it's very hard for somebody to come and say, this year you are talking about so-and-so, this year you are talking about so-and-so.
Yeah.
But people know, like if you're in Kenya, you know who we are talking about.
Mm.
But if it's someone who, for example, I would understand, or I guess I get why brands will not go to Boni, for example, because Boni names and everything.
That's
like that.
That's Boniface Mwangi,
exactly,
who's a political
Boniface
activist.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So... it's yes and no, because it depends on how you relay the message.
Do you have a line that you draw in terms of, I'm not going to touch certain issues, or because of the idea of you need to make money? Like, are there certain, you just say whatever?
Yeah.
Anything that, you know,
anything that I can phrase in a satirical way,
yeah,
I do.
Yeah.
Because it's all about the idea I got. It's not Julia, because you won't find me sitting down and telling you, so now this is what is happening in Kenya. And then this is, it has to be in a very lighthearted way so that, because again, going back to the point where I was talking about, this thing is draining. Like consuming that news is draining. Every day you wake up, it's a new issue. It's very draining.
Mm.
So if it's draining to me, what about this person who... doesn't even like watching news.
And they've come to you for entertainment.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I relate in a way that is easy on their mind, and you can just, you'll think about it, yes.
Yeah.
But you have laughed. At least you have laughed. You're thinking about it from a light place.
Yeah.
Not an angry, like, guy, me too. I just want to punch someone. Yeah.
I totally hear that. And I'm curious because we are, as we're getting to the close of this conversation, are there any like social media influencers that you can plug or name that you follow and you think they actually share really interesting political discourse or information that you think are really dope, that are interesting? Because I feel like we've kind of made it out to be like they're not that many, or there aren't. But are there any that you think our listeners could follow and would find interesting? And Esther?
So there's Justin Wanda, who has
Justin is so hilarious.
Justin is amazing.
Oh my god, I want all my news delivered with that. Yeah. Justin, what is her news thing called?
Fake walk with Justin.
I love it.
She's
a stand-up comedian.
Yes. And it's good. I think like her mind is amazing.
Brilliant.
It's so brilliant. Mm. Like I sit down and I see like the videos she does, I'm like, you're supposed to be, by the way, you're supposed to have 1 million followers.
Honestly.
Because the way she's bringing news to us.
Yeah.
Even me. Right now, that's where I can get my news.
Exactly.
Because now it doesn't have to be as draining as it has always been.
Yeah.
She is so good. And the way she delivers it.
And even as a journalist, like the threshold of her journalism is actually really good.
Yes. Yeah.
Like
yes.
it's not just vibes and inshallah. Mm, like exactly. It's for real good, you know, content.
And she's genuinely passionate about it. See her speak about it like off, you know, social media. Mm. She's genuinely so passionate about it.
Wow.
She researches. Mm-hmm. She writes up on the pieces.
Oh my god.
I love it. Everyone should just check her out.
I love it. Okay, yeah, that's imagine. Fake work with Justin.
I can't think of anyone else.
Yeah, that's top of the bar.
Yeah, because I also follow her.
Yeah.
Trevor Noah, I think, would be mine. Mm. Trevor Noah, I'm obsessed with him. In that sort of, you know, social commentary, political discourse, like that stuff.
Yeah.
I don't even like this my comedy things he does. Honestly. He's great. The technicality is wonderful.
Yeah.
But when he does this off mic, like, yes. I don't know if you guys listen to his podcast, when he goes off mic and just goes on a rant either about racism or politics or xenophobia, whatever. Oh my God. It's so illuminating. He's a political empath. Like it's not hard and tough. It's human. Mm. It's beautiful. It's sincere. And I'm like, I love that. Like I love anything, whatever he says politically, I'm always like, yeah, you know what, Trevor, that makes sense. Thank you, Trevor.
Yeah.
So yeah, Trevor Noah for me is that guy.
That's how I started doing the Issa Parliament videos.
Oh really?
Because now you see when you're saying, oh, not even the comedy stuff. Now he usually hints, like he drops some sprinkle. Political aspects in his comedy stuff.
Yeah.
So when he started talking about Malema, I was like, "Aye,
what is?
You have a person who talks like this for real. So I went to research
and I found, oh wow. Oh my God.
He actually talks like this.
Yeah.
So that's how I was introduced to Issa Parliament.
Okay.
And then now when 2020 came, that's the only thing I remembered. And that's what I recreated and it just blew
up. Your life changed.
Yeah, so thanks, Trevor Noah.
Trevor Noah.
Made me.
He's the best. What about you, Charles?
So I'll actually go back a second and talk about the brand piece. Mm-hmm. And people staying away from brands, or brands staying away from content because it's too political.
Mm-hmm.
And I was actually going to say, no, brands don't stay away from, you know, people because they're political.
Mm-hmm.
They would never go there if that's not their target audience,
mm-hmm.
right? And the case I was going to actually give was Comedy Central.
Uh-huh.
And The Tonight Show, The Daily Show.
Yeah, The Daily Show.
The Daily Show is exactly that. It's political. It's political satire of the best degree from starting out with, before Trevor Noah was, I'm forgetting his name, Jon Stewart, right?
Jon Stewart, yeah.
And Jon Stewart really started that absolute fine line between... Mm-hmm. real deep political analysis done with humor and sensitivity.
Satire, exactly.
Right? And so I think that people just need to know their lane and understand
mm-hmm.
who's your audience, who's your brand target, and how do you want to do it. And by the way, advertisers do not stay away from Boni.
Really?
Really?
Absolutely. He has his target audience of advertisers.
Ah, I see what you mean, yeah. And to each their own.
Guys, who do you think funds him? Yes, people who find me.
Yeah. Mm. Okay.
And that's what advertising is, right?
Mm. Oh,
so everyone delivers a message to people.
Yeah. It's not just, it's not a regular brand.
It's not a regular, it's not skincare.
It may not be Nivea, but maybe Nivea might, you know, you could find a different angle and maybe it needs to like better pitch people.
Nivea for activists.
Yeah.
Hardcore skincare routine.
We need to go out there.
Lipstick for the MPs, right?
Gosh. Oh, you... I swear.
So, but for me...
Nivea doesn't do lipsticks, but okay.
No, I said, lipstick for, you know, a different company.
A different company, yeah.
Yeah.
That is
I can think of a few. I won't name names. But at the end of the day, when I think about like people that I really like, definitely Jon Stewart.
Mm-hmm. OG.
Bill Maher. Unfortunately, they're all like American. No. Trevor Noah.
Okay.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Right? And then one of my favorite people, John Oliver.
Yeah.
Right?
Stephen Colbert?
Stephen Colbert is great, but I think John Oliver is, and you said about that piece around research.
Mm. Yeah.
Right? You have to be so smart to deliver heavy topics in a very empathetic but humorous way.
Yeah. Mm.
Like, to me, that's actually the epitome of comedy.
I agree. Yeah.
Right? Mm.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if you guys have watched the John Oliver piece around Gaza.
We'll put it in the show notes.
You need to watch that. The way he does it and deals with both sides, absolute masterstroke. Right? Really heavy topic, but he does it with such genius, right? And to me, that's it, right? But nobody told him to deal with that, right? No one expects him. I didn't expect him to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
But he did it because he was being authentic and true to himself, right? So I think we need to let people be and
hold space.
Hold space. And if people are telling you to do whatever, just let it off.
Yeah, like, you don't have to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
There's so many problems. Now you have to deal with what people are saying about you.
Oh, I love it. I feel like this has been such an eye-opening conversation just because of the different perspectives we've had around the table. So guys, thank you for, you know, just pouring into this convo and bringing your full selves. As I said in the beginning, honestly, IRAP is really not where you would typically go for this sort of conversation. But we also realized, again, because of the platform we have, it's important. You know, it's important. It's a key part of society and culture. And so we said, let's bring the right people in the room and just have the conversation. So guys, we are curious from our listeners. Let us know what you think. Do you think influencers should be speaking on political matters? Yay or nay? Send us your comments on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast from. Remember, this has been It's Related, I Promise. Catch us on our social media at It's Related, I Promise. And we'll catch you next time, same place. And yeah, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Mister, mister, don't treat me so unkind.
Hi ladies, it's so good to hear from Noni. First of all, girl, we missed you. So I was also taking stock of my year as you guys were talking, and one thing that has stuck with me from this particular episode is what Noni said about saying yes to things that scare you. So my 2023 looked more like Sharon's. I lost my job in the beginning of the year, and I did get one 2 months later, but in those 2 months it was crazy. I lost a lot of my self-confidence. I realized I had pegged a lot of my identity to my work, which is just not okay. So this year I just wrote down 3 things that I want to do and 3 things that I want to achieve, 3 things that I do want to review quarterly, and just also therapy and saying yes to things that scare me.